Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are positively into the, we lost to the Steelers. We're playing the Bengals week around here. Luke Jones is going to be out in Owings Mills. Any breaking news will happen first on the WNST text service. You're on that. Been on it for 20 years. That's how long it's been around because we've been around that long because that's what the silver's coming in and all that. So what happens when you have 25-year Super Bowl anniversaries around here and cart the trophy around? With Trent Dilfer on Friday night. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week as well. I'm going to get Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy out at some point because he's been evading me ever since we had that AI talk a couple of weeks ago over Pizza John's. And I was at Pizza John's on Sunday. We're going to do a cup of Super Bowl there for the first time this year in February. Super Bowl week, I will be out in the community getting good things done for good people. And I'm committed to that. That's in early February. In the meantime, we're just going to have crab cakes for cool people. So, Wednesday, we started Fadley's. Thursday in the morning, we're going to be at DePasquale's all morning, probably having pizza and crab cakes and sausage if Darren's there. And then on Friday, Feast of the Seven Fishes, too. Friday, we're going to be in Halethorpe at Honey's. I'm going to do a little Asian spice over there, which would be delicious because they apparently got pot stickers and they have crab pretzels. So I'm looking forward to it. They invited me over some. I'll take the show anywhere except club basements. I tried that once. Next Thursday, we're going to be, speaking of club basements, like, Costas is sort of like my club basement at this point. We'll be there next Thursday in Dundalk with Gina Schock and some others. Friday of next week, we're going to be at Gertrude's with Dan Rodericks at the BMA. Come on by. They have such a beautiful Christmas display there and the gingerbread thing and great food. And they have a vegan crab cake. Had a young lady from Coppin State who was a Luke. She was a quantum physics major, and I actually spoke to her for a while. I feel like I learned stuff just by breathing the air, but she's an AI expert. So I had her on last week, and she's vegan. So I said, I could take you to Gertrude's. They have a vegan crab cake, something for everybody. And then on Monday, the 22nd, we're going to be at Planet Fitness in Timonium. They're opening a new location there, inviting everybody in the community to drop by and see it. It's not your mama's or your daddy's Planet Fitness anymore. I mean, it has all sorts of things in there for rejuvenation, staying healthier. People come and say, "Hey Ness, how do you look so young?" I'm like, "Well, it's because I don't live, eat, and breathe football anymore. It's because I go to Planet Fitness." So there's my new commercial for you. I'll use that one for the holidays. Get in shape in 2026. I did get on the scale today, Luke. My wife's been gone for since Thanksgiving. She's doing her whole family thing with her freezing her ass off up in New Hampshire. I got on the scale today, and I can honestly say to Planet Fitness, I'm in game shape, Luke Jones. You know, I don't know if they are or not. We're gonna find out, but picking up the pieces from this mess, I know you want to talk defense, and we're going to talk defense. I had someone come up to me at the team party on Friday night for the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl 35 champs. Greatest defense in the history of the game, if you didn't know that. Marvin will never tell you that, though. He always shakes his head. He hates those kind of titles. And I didn't even see Marvin. I didn't see Brian. I didn't see Marvin. I didn't see Mike Smith. I didn't see Dwayne Starks. I didn't see Ray Lewis. But I did see a lot of awesome people over the weekend, including Trent Dilfer and Brandon Stokley. Just so many Ravens, I can't even begin to name. Matt Stover caught up with him for a while. Matt Simon, a lot of Matts. It was a hell of a week until they played the game. And I would say to you that I had someone come up to me in a knows and hows and did and does and always will and said to me, coaches aren't any good, man. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's not a new one on me. But man, they wanted to fire Tomlin last week. Harbaugh's at it this week. Zach Orr, you know, is going to be in the hot seat at the end of all of this because there's going to be a body of work through all of this. How much they miss Matt Ibike, I don't know. But Steelers at home, they didn't get the job.
They didn't. And I cited this in a previous segment, but I have it sitting in front of me right now. This was a stat that was put out there on social media by, I think it was, his name's Ben Fennell. He's a producer for CBS and the NFL on Prime, you know, the Amazon Thursday night game. And it was going into Sunday, obviously, because this will resonate. The Steelers in their previous five games, Nestor. So, five games, we're talking nearly a third of a season there. Five games on 20 plus yard air passes. So, this is when you're throwing the ball 20 yards downfield. The Steelers in their previous five games, 0 for 13 with three interceptions. This was a completely anemic, punchless, vertical passing game. I mean, all they were doing was throwing the ball underneath, to the point that I asked Zach Orr about it on Thursday, and he was ready for the question, and he said, "Look, we can't just sit on routes. We know that. And if you go back and look at the tape and you look at them in recent weeks, they've had some chances to take some shots downfield." Well, lo and behold, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, first play, first offensive play for Pittsburgh, DK Metcalf, 52 yards, beats Marlon Humphrey. A little bit of a push off, probably. But we kind of talked about
What changes the next 55 plays of the game because at least you know they might do it again.
Well, and that's the thing. And they did it multiple times. They did it well. Aaron Rodgers played probably his best game as a Steeler. Low bar, acknowledging that. And DK Metcalf showed up big. And the Ravens defense, well, kind of looked much more like the group we saw earlier in the season and more like the group we saw last year. Yeah, fourth quarter, they bowed up. They got three and outs. Pat on the back for that, I suppose. They gave him a chance in the fourth quarter, but gave up 27 points over the first three quarters and gave up multiple deep shots. The pass rush was non-existent. And I think Pittsburgh did what, and you've heard me talk about this a lot. We've talked about this a lot the last couple of years, even going back to last year and what the defense looked like through the first half of last season. I think we would agree that they have very much cleaned up their run defense. It's not perfect. It's not the 2000 Ravens, but their run defense has been better than it was early in the year. And, even some good rushing teams haven't necessarily. I mean, like, look at the Bears, the way the Bears run the ball. The Bears didn't run the ball a ton against them in that, what was that, week eight, I guess it was. But I've said it. When you go up against this Ravens defense, I kind of feel, if you're trying to run the ball a lot, you're kind of doing them a favor. And Pittsburgh came out and they were aggressive on early downs. They chucked the ball. Now, they became more conservative as the game went on and they had a lead, but they threw the ball on early downs when the Ravens had their bigger personnel in, which that means it's not your best pass rush four, which I think their best, their front four, when you're talking about a play where you're rushing the passer, is probably Van Noy and Mike Green at the edges, and then Travis Jones and Draymond Jones sliding inside, kind of rushing from a three or four technique. That's probably their best four if you're talking about a four-man rush, but you're obviously not using that all game long. So what did Pittsburgh do? They saw when the Ravens had their base, when it's Brent Urban or David Ajabo rushing the passer, off the edge. Oh, let's throw it there. So
Well,
it
that's
worked.
Aaron Rodgers reading everything at the line. I mean, he
Well,
just
and it's
destroyed them
good
at the
play
line of
calling. I
scrimmage,
mean,
right?
and they didn't get any pressure on him. For all the talk of, Draymond Jones coming in, which I still think was a good move, but he's not Lawrence Taylor. He's not Terrell Suggs. For all the talk about their pass rush looking better these last 2 weeks,
Well, Mike Green
not
got in
great.
and got underneath, right, at
Well,
one
and that's
point.
the thing, that they had a couple opportunities where Rodgers, to his credit, showed some elusiveness that I didn't think anyone thought was still there in a 42-year-old version of Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
But
it's instinct. It's
not good enough. I mean, that we've talked about it all year. As much as we've focused much more so on the offensive line in recent weeks, this defensive line's not good enough. They miss Matabike big time. I think Travis Jones is a really good player. Don't get me wrong, but
He'd be a better player, Matabike, in there, looking
and
more
he'd be
like
a
Goose and Sam
better player
Adams.
if they had a more impactful edge rusher. I mean, I think Mike Green can still develop into a really nice option for them. Doesn't mean I think he's going to be Terrell Suggs. So you kind of look at that group. We've talked a lot about the offensive line, but the defensive line, when you've seen them step up in weight class these last 2 weeks against better offenses and more specifically better quarterbacks, or in Rodgers' case, let's just say a more experienced quarterback than Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Tua Tagovailoa, you've seen a very distinct difference. And that's where you look at this thing and say, all right, well, you're going to have Joe Burrow again. You're going to have Drake May again, who some people feel is going to be the MVP. But whether he is or not, he's in that space with the Patriots being the number one seed. And then you're going to Green Bay, where even if statistically Jordan Love hasn't had this unbelievable season as far as his stats, he's playing at a really high level. You're going to be playing on the road there. And then you go to Pittsburgh in week 18, hoping that game means something, right? I mean, you're hoping one way or the other that you have a chance. So, point is, for all the hopes and what the numbers had looked like over the last 6 weeks, which, they're shiny. You can go look at the Ravens game release and see, since week eight, the Ravens had ranked first in this and second in that and first in this and this and third in that. There's no doubt the defense had improved. There's no question about that. The defense is better than it was early in the
And
season
the
when it was just
competition was less, though,
terrible.
too.
But that's the thing. How much of it was truly meaningful improvement, and how much of it
Yeah, none
was
of that
some
mattered when
fool's
Aaron
gold?
Rodgers was out there barking out of plays at third down, forcing you to take timeouts because you didn't have a safety on the back end, and he was going to beat you.
Yeah,
Literally,
so.
that's what happened in the second quarter, and that's why I tweeted. It was first quarter. That's why I tweeted out. You still forget that he's the smartest guy in the building. Like, that's what's made him at 42, is that he is the last remnant of that Brady Peyton Manning era, who comes up to the line of scrimmage and says, "All right, I know what you're trying to do to me, and I know what to do to you to make sure that this is a plus play." He, again, it goes back to the thing, 5 yards, 5 yards, five. Hey, I might not be able to throw the ball over your head, but you're giving me 7 yards. I'm going to take it. Like when he came out and was it Wiggins that was playing off? Somebody was playing so far off on the top side of the screen that he just took a snap, threw it over, and got 7 free yards on first down because the Ravens were willing to sacrifice that.
Well, but that also speaks to, and I don't know exactly which example you're talking about, but it speaks to the push pull of when they throw a 50 plus yard pass on their first offensive play. When I'm guessing at that point in time, they were very much planning on a game where all they've done is dink and dunk over the last month. I mean, that's all they do. Aaron Rodgers isn't throwing it downfield, right? I mean, they haven't completed a pass of 20 plus yards and, in the air in a month. It had been since October. Well, Pittsburgh came out and threw the ball over their head. And, to Rodgers' credit, when the Ravens did blitz, it didn't work, right? And we saw them blitz, on the Warren touchdown. I mean, they blitz and, Mike Green or whoever is supposed to get out and cover him, he didn't. And turns into a 30 plus yard touchdown on third down. I mean, it just wasn't good enough, and especially, I mean, it was better in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was great. They forced three and outs there. I do think Pittsburgh was ultra conservative at that point in time, but what we saw in the first three quarters against that offense, against, I know he's Aaron Rodgers, but a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers who had looked really bad for a while. I mean, that's
Well,
disappointing.
they
I mean,
looked incapable of throwing the ball over your head for a couple of weeks,
yeah,
right? They
that's what
looked
I'm saying. I mean,
incapable of
they
that.
literally hadn't done it. And like, they didn't have a single completion of 20 plus air yards in the entire month of November. I mean, and they had multiple. They did that multiple times against the Ravens on Sunday. I mean, that for me, as much as so much of our focus has been on the O-line and Lamar's health or Lamar not playing well in the three games leading into Sunday, or the running game not running, whatever, we had kind of talked about the defense being better, right? And even against Cincinnati, really it came down to them having a bad third quarter, right? I mean, the defense played well in that first half considering the short fields that they were put on, but the third quarter, Cincinnati, they couldn't get off the field on third down against Joe Burrow in that third quarter, and obviously their two touchdowns came on third downs. But to come out and for the defense to play the way it did through the first three quarters against that team, against that offense, that was my biggest disappointment if we're looking in the from a micro perspective. Not the big picture questions now with four games to go. That's where I look at it and say that this defense, for as well as it was trending for five games, even go back to the Rams game, where they played better in that game, even in defeat, for six games. These last 2 weeks have been quite a sizable step back in my mind, and just speaks to the fact that this defense is way closer to average than anything that's special. And when you kind of rack that up with where they are on the offensive side of the ball, you know, their special teams being what they were, questions about coaching, questions about your quarterback's health, all that. That's, again, just something else you look at and say, are they going to play more like the defense they were against the likes of the Dolphins and the Vikings and the Browns and the Jets? Or are we going to see more of what we saw against the Bengals, who they're going to play again on Sunday, and what happened against in the first three quarters against Pittsburgh when, you know, Drake May and the Patriots come to town and you're going to Green Bay and then you're going to Pittsburgh. You know, that's just another element of this football team that, you know, the optimism has run dry the last 2 weeks about the defense after they were trending in a way that you had some hope that maybe this was going to become a great defense. Nothing close to a great defense at this point.
Here's Luke Jones. He will be out in Owings Mills all week long. Ravens at Cincinnati this week. One home game left. They get to New England Patriots 2 weeks in that, and then out on the road, Green Bay, and then Pittsburgh at the end. All the percentages of 20-something, low 30-something percentages of them winning the division and what would have to happen in Miami and Pittsburgh and blah, 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 and Detroit and Pittsburgh and all that. Super Bowl 35 champs came to town this
Yeah.
weekend. I don't – you – Did you, what was your experience with it? Because you went to the game, you're in the press
Yeah.
box. Did you rub an elbow? Did you see? I
No.
saw on video that they marched in with the band and they had jackets on. Then I saw them come into the stadium. Ray had the fake trophy, not the real trophy, because I touched the real trophy on Friday night. The real trophy's the real trophy, touched by the fans, all that. It's not shiny. It's
Not at all.
not at all.
It's
It's not
beautiful,
meant to
though.
be. It's beautiful. It's not meant to be. Trent Dilfer didn't have any problem holding it up. With me on, neither did anybody else touching it even more. It's the people's trophy. I mean, it was powered and paid for and loved and appreciated even a quarter of a century later, Luke, a
Yeah.
quarter of a
It's
century. That's,
crazy to put it in those terms, isn't it? No,
yeah.
to answer your question, I mean, my extent of it, look, I mean, we're up in the corner in the press box. I didn't
But there
like
was
go
no
down.
pregame, right? It was a, it
No,
was a,
there wasn't like any.
where were the, where did you notice it was actually, did it just last 8 minutes at halftime? Like, I don't know. I really don't
I
know.
mean, they had some pregame stuff and
I
then they
looked on
had a.
their website. There's not enough about it for me, right? Like, literally.
Well, we talked about this last week, and I even talked about this with some others, you know, like, so this isn't, oh, well, Nestor and Luke are just being negative about the team or whatever. I was shocked, and someone else who is in the media and grew up here, right? You know, so even before they were in the media, they were very familiar with the team and everything. And that individual was shocked at how little they publicized the 25th anniversary. I mean, they when they put out their You know, it wasn't when the schedule came out, but it was like August, I think it was, when they announced when they were going to wear their black jerseys and when they were going to wear the alternate purple helmets, you know, against Cincinnati. They put out like their promotional schedule basically for like
Like
what the
Katie Briggs
Orioles
trying to
did,
give away
you know?
bobbleheads next
Yeah,
summer, right?
exactly. But that was in August, and they made mention of it then. And my goodness, Nestor, unless I totally missed something, I didn't hear a single word about it from that point until Tuesday of this past week. I mean, it was odd. You know, I thought it was well done for what it was. You know, a pregame. I mean, I thought the jackets that they gifted all the players. I don't know if I mean, I'm sure you saw it. The varsity jacket. They
Yeah.
really nice looking jacket. I mean, those are cool. But my extent of any interaction with any of those guys was seeing Kadri Ismail in the press box. And you know, I asked Q like what he thought of the weekend, and his eyes lit up like. And he just said it was so great seeing everybody.
Did he poop on me about not putting his picture up?
He no, but he gave me a heart. So this was funny. You know, they put out the press release, and you know, look, I was. It's not like I was going through the Super Bowl 35 roster, but they put in the press release, and obviously they didn't name every player. But I was a little surprised, considering how close they are still connected to the team. The list of players that they had that would be attending, they did not have Kadri Ismail or OJ Brigance. And I thought that was, and I get it, like Kadri wasn't an all pro, but he was their number one wide receiver that year. And I get it, OJ Brigance was a special teams player relative to Ray Lewis and all the starters that were named in that list, but it's OJ Brigance, right? So it was a simple oversight on my part from just copying and pasting the press release, and Q gave me a hard time. But yeah, it was good natured. I mean, we laughed about it. And I said to him, "Well, you clearly didn't check out my 12 Ravens thoughts going into the game, because I made mention of his 1999 record day in Pittsburgh, because that had been the last time these teams had
He
played
did
in."
my show the next night at the
Yeah.
barn, and when
Yeah.
I put pictures up, so I didn't
But
want to be
that.
a picture whore on Facebook, especially before they came to town, right? And I got invited to this party because the Modell family loves me, and I felt like very much like I belonged, and I was treated that way as well. After all, I mean, I've not seen so many people smile at me and mean it, and hug me and mean it. Some of them even a little bit more inebriated. I'm not going to out anybody, but I got kissed by a man, grown man. I'm not going to out him, but snuck up behind too and kissed. It was almost Trumpian, but I welcomed it. It was nice. I'll invite him on a show and make him admit it. But guys are coming in, and I have all these pictures, right? I have a hard drive, so I put it in. I put my files up from 99, 2000, 2001. I was only using the ones from that season, by the way, the 2000 season, because it was that were they were the right pictures of the right era. I didn't go back to 98 or 99. I didn't pull any Ray Lewis ones from 96. I just tried to stay in the lane and not have Whiskey Joe's or the actual Super Bowl or the parade or any of that, or the like pictures with everybody on the team at the party after with the Lombardi Trophy at the Hyatt. Like, so I have a lot of that era stuff, but I didn't want to put any of that up because I put it up before. So I was trying to find stuff from that. So I found like 25 pictures. I'm like, that's enough. It's just enough. And I actually called pictures out. I'm like, how many pictures of Billet do I want in there? I love Brian, but it's enough. How many Marvin smiling pictures am I going to put up? So I just tried to put one of everybody. I had some group shots of modern era. I tried to make it cool. And then Q comes on my Facebook day of the show, the day of the party on Friday, and he's like, "What? You don't have any pictures of me?" And I'm like, "Oh." So then I went back and I found the second file, and it hit the mother. I found pictures I didn't realize I even had downstairs at the barn with people with Spencer and Mike, and pictures with, I mean, the one that really moved everybody was Zeus and Chuck Brown together, right? So, people we have lost, obviously Goose, like just in a general sense of, and yeah, I want to say something to you while we're talking 35, because I never said this out loud. I was at a table at a party on Friday night. Thank you, Steve DeCastro and Roos Chris, for always being not just great to the Modell family, but also great to Leukemia and doing amazing things and being my friend. I love Steve DeCastro. I forget how much I love him until I sit and talk to him a little bit. But I'm at a table later in the evening, and Jay Lou came up, gave me a hug, and I said, "Hey, man, I've seen you twice this year. That's like a lot." And next to him was Trent Dilfer, and next to him was Brandon Stokely. Matt Stover was also table time. Heather Falau, amongst others. But I thought about these three individuals. I had this great conversation with Heather Falau, Spencer's wife, who's a third grade teacher right here in Baltimore County. They live here, live in Owings Mills, teaches kids. I was thinking about them losing children. J. Lou, Trent, Brandon. When I bring that up, people think of Todd Heap. It's been a lot of tragedy, man. The fact that David died early and wasn't there, his children were there at the party. How many people have lost loved ones, players on the team you hadn't thought, you don't remember, that have passed away, and their brothers are there wearing their rings because they had CTI and they committed suicide. I mean, there's a lot of tragedy. Me and several players openly talking about one of their teammates' struggles with CTE, and that, all of us saying, "Hey, have you talked to him? Have you talked to him?" If, like, and they know I talked to most of them. I mean, I probably could have helped Kyle. I told Kyle, I'm like, I have everybody's number, right? You didn't need, I can help you with that through the years. And I didn't get to see everybody, but I saw so many people. And dude, I'm just gonna say, I've called the current operation sleazy, and I have lots of check marks, including your press badge that you have and I don't have. It is the beginning of sleazy when you start how I've personally been treated and intimidated by, but how the organization currently is, and we talked about the empty stadium, we talked about, and that goes for the Steelers fans coming too, and whatever meaning the 25th anniversary conveys to someone younger than us that doesn't have a ride with it, the same way my dad would honor the 58 Colts or the 66 Orioles, and I didn't really understand it, but I understand it. And the way you do, being a sports guy, the way we are, and the reason people would listen to us and watch us and make us think about us and our and care what we think, because we've lived it. I would just say for that team and that era to come into the stadium and see it not the way it used to be. And I'll just leave it at that, and I'll let them speak their mind in whatever way they would want to say that it's not the way it used to be. And it doesn't have to be that way, but it's not good right now. It's not good on the field. It's not good off the field. The coach has no integrity. The offensive line has no integrity. They have no integrity in how they've dealt with Justin Tucker and just in a general, all of it, aftermath of Ray Rice, just the Wembley knee. We can just go through their brand issues, but the brand of the Super Bowl 35 champions, eternal. And more than that, for me, despite whatever Jamal Lewis went through and Ray Lewis went through, and we've lost people along the way in all sorts of ways, when I'm in that room with those people, I promise you, dude, I've been doing this my whole, I'm 57 years old. You've been around teams, baseball, football. There's a reason that team won. That team had character people. As I sat there with Trent Dilfer for 2 hours the other night and thinking, like, Trent knew he didn't have the most talent. He'll be the first one to admit all that to you. But Trent is still leader of men. And I had this deep chat with Trent. He's going to come on with his wife, Cass. But I had this deep chat, and he said something really that I can't, it was so profane, especially coming from Trent, that I can't make it out loud. But his feelings for Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson were specifically Rod, even more than Ray, as part of winning that championship. And Rod doesn't get enough credit, I guess, in the minds of the quarterback who won the, won it. But, I talked to 25 guys that night, and 25 years later, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, really.
Yeah, and look, I mean it reflects life. I mean what you just mentioned, and look, we're all going to leave this earth one day, and no, whether you're rich or poor, smart or dumb, whatever color or creed you might be, we're all going to go through things in life, right? I mean, you can be the richest person in the world and you're going to lose loved ones. Could be someone who doesn't have a whole lot, but you might be very rich in terms of having loved ones, right? I mean, but a football team in 25 years, in the same way that if you go to your 25th class reunion, I'm coming up on what I've graduated in 2001. I'm coming up on will be my 25th high school reunion.
My
I don't know.
wife did her 35th the other
But my
day,
point with
and I'm
that
like,
is
that's a big number.
but my point with that is I've lost multiple classmates, right? In the same way that you're talking about the 25th of a Super Bowl team. And that's without even getting into just the health issues that football players have later in life. I mean, like,
That are so obvious. That are
whether we're
so
talking about
obvious.
CTE or just feeling miserable, knee replacement, shoulder replacements, all the different things they go through. I mean, the brutality for them to entertain us. At the end of the day, it's an entertainment business. So,
I talked to a
yeah.
player who openly said to me, I made $40 million playing football, and if I hadn't put my first annuity away, I wouldn't have any money now.
Yeah, I mean it's
Like,
but so
literally, these are the kind of grown men conversations you're having when you're 60 years old, at a 25th anniversary. It's like, how are you really doing?
yeah.
How are you? You know what I mean? Because that's the
Sure.
most important thing. And what are you? And what has defined you? And what's important to you? I had one guy say to me, one of the veteran guys, that guy over there, you know what a knucklehead that guy was 25 years ago? Do you have any idea what a knucklehead that? And I'm so proud of that guy. That guy's done this with his life. And like, that's the
That's
kind of
awesome.
way they're coming up to me and talking to
It's awesome.
me. I
Yeah.
it
Well, and
really amazing, you know?
it's funny, and I'm not even going to pick on anyone here. I'm not going to name names. For one, I don't really know the names. They were just people I saw interactions on social media, and there were some individuals who kind of made the point that, oh, I don't know why the Ravens are bothering celebrating the 25th anniversary, the Super Bowl 35 team, they're living in the past, like need to, and that just, that was sad to me to have that perspective. And look, I said in our previous segment talking about, I there's a part of me, like this is part of it. This is a small part of it, but it's a part of it nonetheless that, yeah, I do think Baltimore sports fans, specifically for the football team, baseball and the Orioles, that's a different discussion. Been spoiled. There's some of that going on. I and if you're listening individually, taking offense to that, you're probably not part of the problem then. But there's some of that going on. But at the same time, it's a remembering that those teams are few and far between. Like there's the 2000 team, but you know what? There's the 2006 team. There's the 2011 team. There's the 2019 team. There's the 2023 team. That all of those teams were perceived in some shape or form to be better than the 2000 team was until they went on the January run. Same, certainly with the 2012 team. It's really hard to do. And even you need to be great, but you also need to be lucky. That 2000 team had some, the ball bounced their way a few times
Dude,
along the way,
John Harbaugh
too.
still has a job because
Yeah,
Jacoby
Jacoby Jones,
Jones
sure.
and Joe
By the way,
Flacco. If that
and by the
moment
way,
doesn't happen, John Harbaugh would have been out of here in 2017 for
there's
sure.
nothing wrong with that. That's not even that, that really shouldn't be a slight to John Harbaugh. I mean, he might take it that way. I don't know. But it just speaks to how difficult it truly is to win in the league. So when you do that, and when you do that for the first time, as the Ravens did in 2000, and when you consider the city's history in the context of that happening, where 5 years ago, that felt impossible. 5 years before that, that felt impossible. In 1995, we were still talking about whether the Ravens or a team like the Ravens would ever exist in Baltimore. So absolutely, that should be celebrated. And that was fun. And that's what makes Sunday's loss even more disappointing, that they played that way with all those guys in the building. I mean, it's just, but yeah, when you talk about those teams, the journey is, I've said this a lot in the context, more so talking about the Orioles over the years, right? Where I've said, being a sports fan, if it's truly only about winning championships to take satisfaction, man, that's a sad endeavor. That's a lot of time wasted, right? That's a lot of effort in vain for those moments that are truly gratifying then. I mean, it's enjoying the journey, but when you actually do it, my goodness. Not that you should just live in the past, and not that that gives a team a free ride for the rest of their existence by any stretch, but
But there are a lot
man,
of clues around
that's
that team
fun.
about the success that don't exist with this group right now.
And
In
that may
regard to
be, yeah.
leadership, in regard to accountability,
Sure.
they're in a man in that room that would have ran out the back door after losing to the Buffalo Bills. I promise you. Maybe one, and I met him at the party, and he's doing okay with his life too, which is fine. And I'm not going to out anybody, but I looked around that room and thought, how many of these guys ran out the back door when they lost? And they lost plenty.
In
There was
those
one
early years, they
candidate in
lost a
there.
lot.
There's
Yeah, I
one
mean,
candidate in there. And he's a guy who I don't have any pictures at the barn because he never came to the barn.
fair
So I mean,
enough.
like he was a guy that just didn't do that back
Fair enough.
then. And so somebody asked me about that. And I'm like, I have a picture that day he was drafted, but I don't have a picture of the barn. And for me, if he had pulled that, there would have been five guys in there saying no.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Woodson and Sharp and Swain and Goose and Burnett, and they would have been, no, we don't do
Fair
that.
enough. And look, I mean,
We don't do that here.
I'm not even trying to make that kind of a comparison. For me, it's more so, yeah, these guys should be celebrated. And I've said it before. I've said it to people in my life that root for other teams and saw their team win for the first time, win a championship for the first time. It's nothing, there's nothing quite like that. I mean, nothing. I got to cover, as I said this to you, I said this to you last week. I got to cover the Ravens' second Super Bowl team as someone who grew up, at 12 years old, 13 years old, finally having a team here in Baltimore. It wasn't the same as the joy, just the pure joy I felt for the
You
2000
said you were in
Ravens.
Syracuse watching? No, you weren't. You were in high
No,
school still.
I was home for that. The The Terps, the 2002
You
Terps.
weren't Syracuse,
That was my
right?
freshman year at Syracuse, which they played the East Regional Final at the
Up there.
Carrier
Yeah,
Dome.
Joe Enoch
So,
went to that game.
and that team was special to me because of that, because I can remember calling my dad on the phone and just blasting the Maryland fight song in the aftermath of, my disappointment that we couldn't watch that together, but we made the best of it on the phone, talking for an hour, running up the phone bill that month. But like, there's nothing that beats that first one. And look, there are 20-year-old Ravens fans right now, or not 20, let's say 15. 20-year-old would remember the 2012 Ravens at this point. But if you're 15 and younger, you're waiting. You're waiting for Lamar and this current group
In the
to
same
hit the
way you
top of
and
the
I heard
mountain.
about Jim Palmer and we're still waiting.
Yeah, exactly. In the same way that, my grandfather told me about Johnny U and Gino Marchetti and the 58
But
Colts,
at
right? I
least
mean,
you got to experience it.
yeah, exactly. So, it's all relative. And look, a lot of the people that were in the stadium on Sunday, the Super Bowl 35 team being in the building didn't mean a whole lot to them. And you know what? As long as you're not disrespectful about that's okay. In the same way that the 75 Colts just had a celebration, that didn't mean anything to me other than just understanding the history and appreciating it and respecting
Well,
it.
you don't know a thing about Roger Carr, then, is
Yeah,
what I would say
but
to
that's my
you.
thing. Like, I didn't live any of that, right?
Respect for the
So
Sac Pack.
yeah, so but
And
all that being,
then the cynic in you said, "Well, what did they win?" Well, they lost us.
yeah,
There's the
well, it's
talking.
just like, hey, I love the 1989 team. The 2000, I'll say it, the 2006 Ravens, which, if you recall, I mean,
Oh.
McNair coming in, no one thought they were going to be that good that year, though, right? I mean, Billick had been dressed down by Bisciotti months earlier. McNair comes in, it's like, and they were awesome. I mean, they were incredible that year, and it made that Colts loss that much more heartbreaking. But I would still say, when I'm talking about enjoying the journey, that 2006, and I'd throw 2008 in there as well. Harbaugh's first year and the unexpected success with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head
Yeah,
coach.
I'm sitting in Pittsburgh in the upper deck shaking at the championship game.
The
Yeah.
journey for those seasons were just as enjoyable as the championship
Well, there
season.
was also
The
the lead up
championships
of
gave you
those
the,
5 years
yeah,
to winning the championship with
exactly.
Flacco and
Yeah.
Ray's last, which made for a really good book if you want to read it. It's called
It did.
Purple Rain 2. And I actually said to somebody that that team, the humans on that team, as I look down the list, we've lost a couple of them recently too. Don't match up to the humans on the 35 team. Just in a general, what I think of integrity and character and people and what kind of people they've been. So I love that team. I love that team. That's my boys. So it was great seeing them this weekend and the girls. There were a lot of ladies involved in the office as well and cheerleaders, all sorts of people there that I remembered and knew. So it was beautiful. And the game wasn't. And Luke's going to be in Owings Mills all week long trying to make the Cincinnati game beautiful. Owners' meetings are this week and winter meetings, I should say, MLB. So we will be monitoring that. And we have crab cake tours all over the place. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.